This is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today back again is Blake Weiland from the guitar-centered podcast called The Tone Mob and Richard Oliver, Wampler's own quote-unquote man of many hats, longtime tone chaser, and oftentimes the voice of the words that you read on our social media. Hey guys, how's it going?
I have internet. That's cool. Good. Yeah.
I also have internet and no snow.
So Blake, for those who are just listening to this podcast and wondering, one, why is the podcast late this week? And two, why are they talking about weather? Right now, as we record this, a gigantic weather pattern moved through most of America. And one, it basically knocked Blake out of business for a bit.
Yeah.
With ice and no internet and no power. And he was basically living in a tent with a campfire, apparently. I had like 4 feet of snow. So I had to, of course, I have a tractor, which meant I spent like 2 full days digging out my barn.
Unburying, I think was the word you used.
Unburying, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's, and that's not common for here. Like we get 3 or 4 inches here and there, but. I think literally we probably had 14. Maybe, I'm going to guess probably about 14. I don't know what the exact count was, but it seems to be about knee deep. And we're getting another 5 inches tonight, which is fantastic.
That's just what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't typically. Now, I need to back up a little bit. I've grown up here my entire life. And growing up here, we did not typically get a lot of snow. I mean, we would get it a handful of times over the years and it'd be like 2-3 inches. We just didn't really get it here. That said, about the last 8 years or so, we've had some sort of snow event happen every year, which is kind of crazy in and of itself. On top of it, every year and a half to 3 years, we have a big event that causes mass problems. And this time, the snow wasn't too bad. Up in Portland proper, it was about 1.5 feet or so. Here, where I live in Oregon City, which is a suburb, we got hammered the worst with ice storms out of anywhere in the state. And basically, 1/3 of our trees fell down. That's pretty much what happened. Like, that's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but a lot of trees fell down. My neighbor had a tree across the street from me. Literally, the first sign that things were going really badly for me was about 2 a.m. There was a loud crash, and I looked outside, and that one of their trees had literally uprooted itself and fell over because of it had accumulated so much ice up in the branches, and it just fell over across the street. And a couple hours later, we were out of power. Everyone I know is out of power. And it, if you drive through town, it looks like a bomb went off. Funny enough, the ice lasted about 3 days here in Oregon City. And now there is none. It's gone. It's completely gone, except for, you know, a few little piles here and there. The roads are completely ice free. It's just trees everywhere. I think they said 200,000 people in total were without power. So
Is it common to have a generator in your area?
In the more rural areas, it is, because when they have power, you know, it's not as much of a priority for the power company as it is in the more metro areas. So, yeah, I didn't have a generator. My dad had access to one, and my brother-in-law got one. But I have a wood stove. So that's kind of like been my backup, which
when you first gets the house toasty. Said about the weather,
yeah,
I was like, is Portland. They're just going to turn their longboards into snowboards. It's going to be a lot of fun. By the end of the 3 days, I was pretty sure you'd gone feral and were hunting squirrels out there with like a slingshot.
Blake had a squirrel hat on, like the Davy Crockett hat.
Oh, no, that was you, Brian. I saw that.
No, I had, what would you call those hats?
Like the one Randy Quaid wore in National Lampoon's Christmas
yes.
Vacation, right?
Yes. That was basically me, including the shorts and boots. Yes.
And the emptying of the the RV into the sewer.
But you took no damage there, right, Blake? There wasn't anything permanent happened to you back there.
No, I was mainly concerned that, like, I've got hedges that surround my lot, and they were, like, bowed over, and I was mainly concerned that those were going to die, because that's, like, the thing that keeps my place from feeling like it's super exposed. Like, it feels pretty private, but if those were to go away, I'd be, like, looking at everyone around me, and I don't want to do that. But we lost one big branch out of our oak tree. Really, we came away pretty unscathed compared to most people. Oh, so that's good.
And Brian, I've seen pictures of you, as I said, in the tractor.
Yes.
How bad is it at Rancho Wampler?
You know, what actually sucks is we had a layer of ice already on the ground, about, I don't know, an inch of ice, maybe an inch and a half of ice. And it's been really, really cold here. In Fahrenheit, it's been single digits at night, maybe the teens.
What's that in real money? I don't understand this Fahrenheit shenanigan.
That's, zero is like 32 degrees or whatever, right? So I don't know.
Minus something then.
Yes. Yeah, it's cold as hell.
Somebody going to be shouting at the radio right now going, you idiots, it's minus 22.
That's like asking me to convert inches to millimeters. I'm like, I don't know.
I'll Google it. I don't know.
My tape measure does inches. That's all I know. No, that's not all I know, but you know what I mean. So yeah, it was lots of ice. Then we had all that snow on top of it. And it's really where we are in Indiana, parts of Indiana are real flat, but we're actually really hilly because it's like southern Indiana, which is a lot like Kentucky, if you're familiar with Kentucky, very hilly. And so as a result, like a lot of driveways are hilly. So as a result, people can't get out of you can get out of your house once, but you can't get back up to your house. So the community we live in, we don't like have an HOA. Well, we really don't have like an organized homeowners association. We're all pretty tight around here. So we kind of take care of each other. And it's kind of, we kind of understand like each person has their own thing that they do to kind of help out our little neighborhood. And since I have a tractor and one of my other neighbors has a tractor, we are the kind of the unspoken but designated road clearers.
Mr. Plow, is that?
Yes. Yes. Because, I mean, we're out in the middle of the country. So our driveway is, you know, a driveway can be, golly, 1,000 feet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be big driveways. We happen to have not have a very big driveway just because our house is close to the road there. But some of my neighbors have driveways that kind of go out into the woods and up a hill and down a ravine and then back up a hill. And
over here, they're called villages.
Well, we live literally in the middle of nowhere. So
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, it's rural. It's nice sometimes, but times like this, you're basically stuck. So there is no going into town to get food or anything. You got to be prepared. So I did have a generator backup that I pulled out and made sure it was running. Had gas, plenty of diesel for the tractors and that sort of thing.
Enough about the human problems. How are the goats?
I had to dig the goats out too. So they were kind of stuck in the barn because along with the snow is also really windy. And so there's big snow drifts. So they were stuck in the barn. I had to literally basically carve out some area for them to get into the field, the pasture that they're in.
Like a goat igloo.
Like they had a goat igloo for sure. Yes. So yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of farmy type things that we got to take care of. Goats were one. I got a couple random cats just kind of roaming around and make sure they're taken care of.
But you see, you are taking care of it all over here. If we get like an inch of snow, the entire country comes to a halt. I think 2 years ago, I was driving back down one of the main motorways and it started to snow really badly. I think it was about 2 inches of snow, and I was like, I'm pulling off. I'm staying at a hotel. I'm not going to drive home, and this car's in front of me, skidded everywhere. I came off at a junction. It was really hard. My car's rear wheel drive too. We don't change to winter tires over here. That's far too easy. So I was skidding my way, and I saw the headquarters of my car's manufacturer. So I pulled in there. I was like, dude, I can't go anywhere. The car won't work. And he's like, yeah, but you can't park here overnight. I was like, what? Come on. I bought my car from your company. So anyhow, I ended up staying at a hotel overnight and waiting till the next day. But like I say, total amount of snow on the floor, 3 inches tops, and the entire country ground to a halt.
Wow. Yeah, 3 inches is not a bad amount of snow. We just call that a fun day.
Yeah. Brian, I have a recommendation to you and the listeners, I guess, that I've been kind of obsessed with for listening to podcasts and like doing work at the same time, especially noisy work like tractor work. I got some of these 3M WorkTunes earmuffs for Christmas, and they're like hearing protection, like legit certified hearing protection, but they're Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. I was running in between last time we recorded, I was running a leaf blower all day prior to the snow. And man, these things were amazing. I could, the sound quality is not like necessarily the best, but like I ran them at like half volume all day long, barely used the battery at all. I think I got down to like 60%. And I had hearing protection built in while I was running this backpack blower all day. I'm like, these things are awesome. Everyone needs to know about these if they work around anything noisy and want to also listen to podcasts. They're like $50.
Check them out now. Yeah, yeah, yep. I'm checking them out now. That looks great. I do have some, well, they're not these, but they are just Bluetooth over the ear type headphones with noise canceling. Mm-hmm. And they help quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, basically I'm sitting on the tractor jamming out to my docking or whatever it was. I forget what it was now, but I was listening to 90s country yesterday. So I was doing some serious Alan Jackson.
Yeah, you were. You know, you were on the Chattahoochee.
Heck yeah.
Is that Brent
Mason?
He
was definitely on the hooch
that's playing that song.
I was on some sort of hooch, yeah.
Driving around.
Driving around on a tractor, having a sip of vodka here and there. That's normal.
Had to keep warm.
I'm sure you've told me before, though, like where you live, it's fairly normal for people to drive to the shops on lawnmowers, right?
People drive their lawnmowers. Well, when you go into town about 15 minutes from here, there's a little town called Martinsville. Not much there, but there is a Walmart. But yeah, that's apparently that's kind of a thing. People drive lawnmowers.
Like, do you have restaurants near you and stuff?
Yeah, there's a couple. We have a Chili's.
Right. Exotic.
Yeah. 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 We have a Chili's. We had a White Castle, but they closed down.
What?
Taco Bell, Subway, McDonald's.
White Castle's the best.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's
White Castle is not the best.
It so is.
No, it's not.
It is at first. It's after you eat it that you immediately regret your decisions.
The last time I visited America, the very first place we visited on the way back from the airport to my cousin's house was a White Castle, where I think we picked up what was called a cheesy six pack. Didn't sound very appetizing, but
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good eating.
Good eating, not good digesting.
We don't really have White Castle around here. But probably because of Brian, actually, when I was in Tennessee last time, he was like, what? You've never had White Castle? And so I was like, all right, I'll go get some White Castle. And I got it and I'm like, Brian, why did you tell me to eat this? I'm like, what is this? But I will say I had a couple of cheeseburgers and they were, you know, they're whatever. They did have a hot chicken sandwich that I was like, okay, if I'm coming back here, this is what I'm getting. Because it was surprisingly good compared to the rest of the food I had. I don't know what that's about, but.
I think maybe the Crystal restaurant, that might be similar to it.
We don't have one of those either, but yeah.
Well, Oregon sucks then. What can I say?
We are starting to get some more In-N-Outs, though. So I'm excited about that.
We don't have In-N-Outs here at all.
So no electricity, though, means no playing guitar there, Blake, then.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, this is kind of a good thing to talk about. My wife and I were like kind of in a bit of a funk, you know, on top of like trying to just keep the house warm and, you know, everybody safe and fed and all that stuff. We got power back, and the first thing she does is put on a record. And she's like, oh, I was missing music. She's like, that's why we were in a funk. And she was totally right. We hadn't been listening to any music for like 3 days. And so it totally threw off our game because we always have music playing. And we didn't really notice it until, oh, we can put on a record. Quick, put on a record. And it really elevated our mood a lot, like a noticeable.
You didn't get the acoustic guitar and bongos out then.
I did play my Mule Resonator a little bit.
Funny.
So I actually do have a question, Blake. I was thinking about this yesterday while I was pushing snow out of the way. Since you had no electricity, you only had the wood stove to heat. But I was thinking, what would I do? I would be freaking out because I have a bunch of guitars and, you know, you have temperature problems and now humidity problems, like all these things that really contribute to kind of screwing your instruments up. What did you do? Because you have a barn outside of your house where your shop and everything is.
So I'm really lucky in the fact that the shred shed is extremely insulated. It's basically a room within a room construction. So it's got the external walls and then another set of internal framing. So the walls themselves are like, I can't remember how thick, but they're like somewhere like 14 or 16 inches thick in total.
Wow.
Totally stuffed full of insulation. And then there's two layers of 5/8 drywall on there. And
that's
then
not a shed, that's a bunker. Your terminology is all messed up, Blake.
It looks like a shed, though. And then the walls are covered in reclaimed fence boards. So the walls are beefy and thick. So it stays, I didn't have heat going out here for a whole day, and it still was probably 65 degrees out here.
Wow.
So I'm really lucky in that regard. What I ended up doing is borrowing my brother-in-law's propane heater. It's a small propane heater, and I just would go turn it on for an hour or two every couple hours. Now, I know that's dangerous for breathing, so I did not stay in there with it. I just let it run just to get the temperature up a little bit, and then I'd go in there and turn it off. And then when the power came back on, I turned the normal heat on, opened the doors up, and got it all ventilated out. But you wouldn't have wanted to hang out in there with that propane running, especially because this room is super sealed off. There's no airflow.
So the humidity thing, though, that came up earlier in the week when Jake...
our engineer, Jake.
Yeah, he was talking about his Telecaster. The ends of the frets were poking out either side. I, of course, immediately told him it was time to upgrade to a more expensive Telecaster because any excuse to lead him down that path was worth taking. But Elmo, who we were chatting to at the time.
Elmo helps us as well with design. If you've been to NAMM, you've met Elmo. He's usually one of the guitar players playing
with us.
Super talented
player, right?
Does a lot of stuff design-wise with this.
Puts a lot of hours in as well to his playing. I mean, he can go through a set of frets at a rate that I probably don't even change strings. But he was immediately like, no, you got to check the humidity on that, Jake. And, sort of showed us his setup. And it made me realize over here, we just never have that issue because unless you really are in the extremes of the British Isles, we're such a moderate country weather-wise, humidity is always sort of 45-ish everywhere pretty much because it's quite damp over here basically. So right. we just never have those fluctuations. But down in Nashville where Elmo is, I think it's a little bit different.
It is. It's sort of similar here. In the summer, it's real humid, so I have a dehumidifier that I have to use when it's warm out. But when it's cold, I have to run a humidifier because it goes to both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I found it out the hard way once because when I first built this room, which kind of like Blake, I have a big barn that looks literally just like a barn from the outside. But inside, that's where my little studio is and stuff.
It's like a Bond lair. That's probably the reference you don't get.
And it's insulated and heated and everything. But it gets really dry in the winter and really moist in the summer. And when I didn't have a dehumidifier, I noticed my basement had mold on the back of it. It was against the wall. And yeah, so we had to like totally take it apart and get all the mold out of it. It was a wreck, but it came out good.
Yeah.
But the moral of the story is humidity is a thing with guitars.
Yes.
And with electric guitars, not just acoustics, as again, I wrongly said, whilst trying to upsell Jake on an expensive Telecaster. But yeah, no, that was kind of an interesting thing. And speaking of acoustics, the other thing we didn't mention last week because we ran out of time, but I naturally thought of you, Brian, when I saw it, was the new Epiphone acoustic range, where I think their top end one was putting something like $2,500, maybe even pounds. Looked really, really nice. Did you get a chance to look at them at all?
No, I did not.
Because you were busy on your tractor.
It's been such a hellacious couple of days. I mean, not only that, we started out like doing a bathroom remodel, and also which is behind the laundry room because we had mold in that wall in between them. Long story there, apparently they used the wrong drywall, and we got mold behind the tile, which is basically means you're gutting a bathroom in the laundry room. So we started there, which led to, well, since we're tearing everything else up, we need new floors. We got these old 20-year carpets or whatever. It's time to put some new flooring in here, which then led to the kitchen, which then led to, oh, by the way, your dishwasher apparently has been leaking a little bit for who knows how long, which made the back of the cabinets moldy, which meant that we basically had to do a full kitchen remodel as well. So we're kind of camping out in one of the spare bedrooms upstairs. When I say camping out, I mean like everything that I need on a day-to-day basis is just kind of scattered in a room and stuck in piles, including
six Telecasters, three amplifiers, and 400 pedals, you mean?
Well, luckily, I have the barn, so all of that stuff's across over here.
Don't lie.
I only have one guitar at the house, believe it or not, and it's an old acoustic.
But it isn't one of these new Epiphone Made in America Texan acoustics.
No, but if they want to send me one, I'd play one.
Yeah, nice, smooth. Probably got a reasonable chance.
They were made in America.
By the way, if you're Epiphone, if you're sending out guitars, another 335 would be fantastic. Be awesome.
Yes, my address is 1930.
No, sorry, I should have said it when I just immediately went on the price angle. But yeah, the big thing here is it's the first time in over 50 years they've made these in the USA. Obviously, they've put some big names next to their acoustic branding to make it absolutely jump off the page that they want to reignite this market. And it's interesting because it probably means Gibson are going to go to the next level up in terms of their cost. They're already obviously quite expensive with some of their top-end acoustics, but yeah.
Which is weird because it blurs the line between Gibson and Epiphone.
It does.
That was my thought immediately, but then I started to think again about kind of how Fender do it, and maybe there's a bit of that going on here. You know, maybe there's a top-end Mexican-built Fender versus bottom-end USA-built Fender crossover thing. Maybe I just made that up, I don't know. But I wouldn't be the first choice of acoustic I drop $2,700 on, personally.
I do know, I don't think that it was from this range. I haven't actually got to look.
That's right. Three of those, please. I will say I'm still in love with this 335, man. I just can't pick up another guitar here lately. I pick it up and I want to play. This is what, a month after I got it?
At least.
Right? Yeah.
So it's you know, sometimes you've got to kick it up a bit. I went to my guitar shop today, but it's for sadder reasons. I went to pick up my PRS. I just had the original pickups put back in it after having some different ones in it because I'm going to sell it now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Just can't hang with it, huh?
I've had it for 18 years, and I can honestly say I played the hell out of it for the first 5 or 6 years, but in the last 12 years, it's just never really done it for me. It's just never felt right. And I think if I'm being honest, I bought it more just so that I could have one at the time rather than having kind of played one and loved one. They're such amazing quality instruments. I totally get why people love them. But for me, I just can't really vibe with anything that isn't a Les Paul or a Telecaster stroke Stratocaster. That's kind of where I grew up, and that's kind of where I'm stuck, I think.
That helps you play the Pink Floyd, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Brian.
You know, that those
because they're the only band that have ever played Stratocasters, Les Pauls, and Telecasters. So, yep.
I just like giving you crap because you're a massive Bowie and Pink Floyd fan.
Oh, why are we mentioning Bowie? That's hold on.
Because I think it's funny because, I mean, I have mad respect for both those bands, but. From a listener's perspective, it just doesn't do that much for me. Now, hold on, with a caveat, I love Gilmore's tone. I love the stuff he does, but the songs in general just don't do much for me.
I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff, and I come across as the world's biggest Pink Floyd fan because we do it to wind each other up, and it's not necessarily the case, but the Bowie thing comes from my childhood, man. You know, in 75, Space Oddity, which to me as I was, you know, being birthed, was just a song about space, was the coolest f***ing thing in the world, pardon my French. And I used to strum a little rolled up newspaper pretending to play the guitar to it. And that just stuck with me. And then when I was a bit older, I discovered he'd written two other songs that seemed to be about space. I didn't realize they were probably all about drugs. I was like seven, right? And again, you know, a seven-year-old back in the early 80s, Star Wars was the coolest thing in the world. So anything space did it for me. And that just stuck with me. And I kind of got into him big time over the years. And he's always kind of, you know, pushed boundaries musically. So I love him. Floyd definitely just speak to me. But I'm not... Again, I'm not super, super fan. That said, I've got about 30 bootlegs if you want to listen to any rare concerts.
Let me think about that. No, I don't think so.
So, yeah, today I was being quite rightly ribbed by, amongst other people, my guitar teacher, who said, you know, Pink Floyd, great guitar player. Everybody else in the band completely average. And I was like, yeah, but you don't all have to be amazing to make a good band. It's about, you know, the whole thing. But I lost the argument with him. He's musically quite intelligent and I can't win. But I'm definitely not the super fan that you think I am, Brian. Honestly, I have got some country and Western in my collection. Both.
It's interesting that you mentioned Bowie and how, you know, some of the songs might be drug influence. I, as a wee little lad, you know, what was I, 8 or 9 or something? I was really into the first two Motley Crue albums. So what was it? I think it was like Too Fast for Love was the first one, or Live Wire or whatever it's called. And then Shout at the Devil, which if it's early 80s and you're in Indiana and you're listening to an album called Shout at the Devil with a big pentagram on the front, generally not that accepted as a whole around here. But that's what I was into with, you know, with such amazing balladry such as 10 Seconds to Love. Yeah, probably not the best type of lyrical, you know.
I had a Motley Crue phase. I think 13, my friend from the US came over. He brought across Girls, Girls, Girls. And I swapped that for Iron Maiden's first album for a lend. And then I got into Motley Crue for about a couple of years.
I used to want to be Vince Neil when I was a kid.
Used to be, air quotes.
I was, well, I mean... Now that I've gotten older, I have different views entirely. But at the time, as an impressionable young boy, I thought he was the coolest person ever. We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions. And we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
I did not have a Motley Crue phase, as you can imagine.
They probably broke up before you were born.
I think they did, or right around the time I was born.
This conversation
maybe because
over.
I was born.
They'll right. just accuse us of being blues dads again, Brian. It's fine. Let's talk about getting them off our lawn again.
We didn't have electric guitars.
Yeah. Well, no, this is actually kind of a funny turn of events because my wife has just brought it to my attention that I've been accustomed to being the young one in the workforce or just in general for a long time because I started working full time when I was 16. So I was always the kid. The tides are starting to turn and now Gen Z are making fun of millennials is what's
yes.
happening. Gen Z are making fun of millennials for being
Revenge.
Old. They're making fun of our rock and roll ripped jeans and our flannels and everything. But my thing is, like, the Gen Zers are dressing like 90s moms. So
like, 90s mom. Wait, what? I remember what's a 90s mom dress like?
Oh, the high, super high waisted, big old acid wash jeans, you know, the Keds, the pastel like jackets and everything. You know, this is
Brian's looking very worried because that's his normal outfit.
I'm like, wait, did this change? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I didn't, I guess I never. Notice that.
I'm the same though, Blake. I was always the young one. I'm like the very last of the kind of school intake year because of the month I was born, and so
same.
Always, yeah. You know, the youngest kid in the class. And then I started work really early and was always the kid. And then one day I turned around and noticed I was 45 with a gray beard. I was like, damn.
Yeah, so it's happening to me now. Now I'm a stuffy old millennial, apparently, according to the Gen Z.
It's about time you had some of the thing that really winds me up, and this is the most boomer thing you can say in the world, is that when I grew up, boomers meant baby boomers, right? The people who were born after the war. So every time someone says, okay, boomer, I'm like, but that's my dad. My dad was born just after the war. He's a baby boomer. You're historically inaccurate, and therefore I reject your insult.
Does okay, Gen Xer.
Does it get more boomery than that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people misunderstand the okay boomer insult. It's like, that doesn't mean you're literally a boomer. It just means you sound like one. And you can be 20 and be told okay boomer. It's fine.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of people.
I'm trying
that don't.
To stop myself from ranting here.
Yeah, me and Brad have already had a proper dad's rant about this generation this week. No coincidence that we're dads, trust me. But yeah, didn't you get a new amp as well, you were saying, Blake? Moving on from children very smoothly and very quickly.
Very smooth.
Speaking of any other topic,
can we literally discuss what's going on? All right. Yeah, but yes, I have an amp here that I'm quite fond of. I got it in. I don't know how long I'm going to get to keep it, but I'm going to keep it as long as Charles will let me. It's called a Silktone amp. It's a 12-watt 112 combo with a reverb. And what's really interesting about this is it doesn't go with the normal tubes you would think of in a guitar amp. He's actually using one large KT-66 for the power tube. And this thing sounds really cool. It sounds like when you drive it, when you push it as hard as you can, it sounds like a Fender Champ, but louder, richer, with none of the flubby weirdness that can come along with a Fender Champ. Like, it just has that super grindy, harmonically rich kind of tweed sound, but without all that flubby low end that you can get with some of those things. And it has a 3-band EQ on it, and then you can bypass that and get really raunchy with it. But it also can clean up and do some really pretty rich cleans. I really like it a lot. I was really surprised by it. It's kind of outside my normal wheelhouse tonally, but it pairs really nice with the other things I have. So really enjoying it quite a lot.
I may actually adopt the name Flubby Low End. I think that would make a good name for me at weekends.
That sounds like Tumnus ad copy to me. Flubby bottom end? You don't need a diet. You simply need the Tumnus.
Very, very smooth, Bri. I'm definitely
the Tumnus will tighten your bottom end.
Right, right.
This conversation could get out of control very quickly if we're not careful.
It's right on the edge.
Forget those squats and deadlifts, folks. You need a Tumnus.
But you really do. If you haven't got one, buy one.
If you had the Tumnus and you did the squats and deadlifts, though, would that be like steroids?
Possibly. See, I'm still going back on point. I am still at the junior level of understanding my tubes. So I know that there are different ones and that I have two different types in my amp. That's as far as I've got. It helps that I can now see them through the grill of my amp. So I will start learning what everything does slowly in the way that I do. But at the moment, KT66 or EL 67 or whatever that.
No, that's not a thing.
See, there you go. Nope. EL34. There you go.
Someone
will be shouting at the radio again at me, like they did last week when I said Kip Winger, when I clearly meant Kane Roberts dressed as Rambo.
I got some tubes. I got some EL2020s in it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm going to upgrade those to 2021s this year, though, I think.
But I'm a real practical guy when it comes to learning stuff. If I want to learn something, I have to basically make it. If I make it, I know everything about it. So I think my next project is definitely building either a fuzz or a treble boostery type thing. And then
it's so much fun doing it.
Yeah, I've got to do it. I mean, if only I knew someone who knew something about breadboarding or something.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody. Oh, I know. I was just on the phone with Josh Scott earlier this week. Maybe we can get him on the phone.
Oh, you got a little podcast thingy coming out with Josh?
Yeah, we were supposed to record Monday. He hasn't been on for like 4 or 5 years, and
yeah, it's been
everything's good. Totally changed for the both of us, so that's going to be a fun chat.
Yeah, he's, again, not to keep going, I keep throwing back the TikTok stuff, but he's doing great on the TikTok stuff.
Yeah?
Yep.
He's been hitting it?
Yeah, hit it hard.
I totally fell off the rails. I need to get back to it, but, you know, I'm still working on an album, and I just got electricity back, so I'm just trying to catch up.
Is your album going to be called Flubby Low End?
Yes, of course.
It's perfect.
Flubby Low End.
I did have some thoughts about TikTok, but I'll share them off this conversation.
I find that the thing to do, I need to really get my dancing skills on par, I think. I think that's what my channel is going to be, is this is how guitar dads dance.
Oh, that sounds horrifying.
Or really strangely alluring. Who knows? I mean, I've seen some weirder crap on there. I'm not going to lie.
Never mind. I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
No, we're just going to we're going to hit it with you swinging Stratocasters round your neck. That's just every day.
You know, we should try it. Try a different guitar every day. Will this neck break? Let's see.
And you've just got to stand there and get progressively more bored looking as you do it until you sort of master the statue look. That would be fantastic. The other thing, actually, before we jump off this, we didn't talk about the amazing looking Universal Audio pedals that have just popped out. I think they're in the shops now. I did go to a guitar shop today, but I did not look for them because it is lockdown and I can only click and collect. So has anyone had a chance to see one in the metal yet?
Nope. I haven't seen one up close.
I mean, they're super high-end looking. They look like they're going straight after the very top end of the market because I think they're $350, something like that.
I think they're like $399.
Yeah, I think they're $400. Bucks, yeah. That's the thing that I wasn't sure about, because for me, I'm like, Universal Audio has all these amazing plugins on all this amazing stuff they've done over the years. And it seems to me, and I could be totally wrong about this because I honestly haven't done that much research, but it seems like they just took their plugins and put it in a pedal. Is that accurate?
I don't know for sure, but I can say they're kind of analogous to each other in a way, because you can take the plugin and then kind of rewrite it for the processor and the pedal. So it's entirely possible to do that. I mean,
gotcha.
That's outrageous.
I mean, honestly, if you really get to the root of it, if you, let's say you're making a delay, in a digital delay, it's kind of the same thing from one type to another type in a way, because you're just taking the signal and you're saying, okay, loop it back into itself and do it at these frequencies and do it in this manner. But it's still like the base of it is still kind of the same. You're still saying, make an echo. It's not anything like analog where, oh, well, we're going to use this type of filtering system.
An EL-37 tube.
Right. EL, yeah, 60, 67. Get it straight.
Yeah.
EL-67.
EL-67A, by the way.
67A is the best. Mm-hmm. So I mean, digital is fun, but it's also, in some ways, you can almost use bits and pieces as templates. So even if they have 10 different delay plugins, I don't know if they do or not, but let's say they do, you can still take like the base of it and then kind of sculpt it into something different pretty easily.
And you
I guess it's just a different
reverse.
Say again?
You could do it in reverse.
You could sculpt something from...
If you had a pedal that had like 11 modulation effects, you could turn those into plugins.
Well, that is true. One might do that, wouldn't they?
I've just blown Brian's mind completely.
He's never thought of that before.
It might have crossed my mind before.
Okay.
I suppose maybe my criticism or thought thereof is not entirely accurate, because it's really just, if it is, a different version of their plugins in these pedals, they're really just giving you a different way to access them. Because you can't very well, I mean, you could, but most people aren't going to be lugging a laptop
right
to their show and running the plugin through it.
There's more to it than just the code side. Brian's obviously accurate. Once you've got a processor, you're going to be writing code for it. That code doesn't have to run on that hardware. It could run on any hardware. But it's also the tweaking of the kind of positions that the pots need to go to hit certain levels. There's a huge amount of work that goes into getting that right. So I am 100% positive, unless they've made the worst decision ever, and I'm sure they haven't, that they will have put a lot of time and effort into thinking about how these things work tactically, using whatever interface is on them at the moment. So I've got to get one just for the very cool, like, hewn out of solid steel case as well.
Yeah, that does look awesome.
That looks really nice. So as soon as my local shop gets one, I will be popping in and trying one or three and bringing them back.
I haven't had a new gear day for a good week or so. I did just buy a new scale, though, because my scale went out today.
Scale
to weigh packages so you can ship packages. Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, man. Can this one do up to 10 pounds?
This one goes up to 50.
Oh, my. This is so thrilling.
That's lightweight. Wow. I've got one that does 50 kilos, mate.
What's that converted into real pounds?
That's 100 pounds.
Oh, well, not, I mean, times 2.2. I mean, that's how that works.
Oh, there's always one. I bought it when I was trying to sell giant dog beds, but thankfully I'm not trying to do that anymore.
Giant dog beds.
Don't even go there. Unless you want a giant dog bed.
I don't
have any anymore. I'm out of that. No new gear. Nope.
All right. Well, that's about all I got for this week, fillers. I know we're cutting it a little bit short, I think. I don't know. But it looks like
short of what we normally do.
Yeah. I have to, I just got a message while we were talking that I have to go. This sounds so terrible. Because of the snow situation, I have to load some wood into my tractor bucket and take it to my neighbor up their hill, because it's the only thing that'll get up their hill.
Oh, man. Well, that's a very generous act of you. If I had to do the same for my neighbor, I could simply pass it over the fence, of course. But
luckily, I have to go down the holler, up the creek bed. Yeah.
I don't think, Richard, you throwing things at your neighbor is the same as Brian bringing his neighbor firewood. I'm just saying.
Oh, are you sure?
You chucking logs at their head from across the way is a little different thing.
It's a sport over here. It's called the Highland Games.
Caber toss.
That's totally what we all do in Southern England.
I bet it is.
Let's not go into that one. But well, good luck with your logging activities, Brian, and hopefully the snow will ease off for everybody that's struggling with it.
I hope so. I'll give you a full rundown next week.
Bye bye.
Take care, dudes.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. Email Blake, email info@tonemob.com. And Richard is richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and others who might like it. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is just simply to share this with a friend. Maybe leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Make sure to check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. It's a great one as well. And make sure to check out Wampler Pedals, that's our website, for blogs, videos, and of course, our little toneful gadgets, our little pedals and amplifier. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.